You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. It's me, Dr. Kristen Lierley, the newest member of the WCPT family. I am so excited to be on the air in Chicago, especially after what happened with the Bears and the Packers last weekend. But I'm not getting crazy about that. I mean, to me, this is going to sound like such a politician's answer, but I love that rivalry. I especially love it at this time in history because I am a huge Green Bay Packer fan. But historically, these two teams are so deeply intertwined and there wouldn't be one without the other. So it is such a great rivalry. And we get to do it all again next weekend. Yikes, in Soldier Field. So we'll see what happens there. But I'll be cheering Go Pack Go and we'll see what happens. Other than my credentials as a Green Bay Packer owner, I am also an OBGYN doctor and a former candidate for U.S. Congress from Northeastern Wisconsin, Green Bay, of course. And I'm a nationally known leader in healthcare advocacy. I chair the board for the Committee to Protect Healthcare, which is an organization of over 40,000 doctors all over the country, all different specialties, doing patient-facing advocacy work like, how expensive is healthcare and can we make it cheaper? Can we make drugs cheaper? Can we provide better access? All of those things that really make a difference to you. And I also serve on the executive board for the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. That's the biggest organization of OBGYN doctors all over the world, over 60,000 OBGYN docs. So I have a lot to say about healthcare, but maybe my proudest role in life is being a mom. I'm so lucky to have four healthy, wonderful sons, one of whom is actually our producer, but he wants to stay off camera and doesn't want to come on. So maybe at some point I'll be able to coax him on. But you know, being a mom just adds a whole other layer of complexity to everything that I do. And nobody understands that better than my guest today. Kate Duffy is the founder of Motherhood for Good, which is a wonderful organization that you can follow on TikTok and Instagram and all the socials, where she teaches you about parenting and politics and why the two are so deeply important to each other. So I'm really excited to welcome Kate to this conversation. Kate, come on.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so happy we're finally doing this. I love every chance I get to chat with you.
Yeah, I do too. It's just so easy.
I know. And what I wanted to say, well, I'm not as credentialed as you are. I am somebody who, there's no credential yet for making videos in your basement, but maybe we'll get there someday. But I am also a mom and I'm also a Packer owner. So we have that going for us.
We do. But we don't want to overwhelm the Bears people because we do want to be welcome in Chicago.
I know. And for everybody in Chicago listening, I am married to a Bears fan who is from Illinois, and I didn't even gloat or anything in front of him. In fact, I was very, very kind, and I made dinner, so.
Yay. So remember that.
Yeah.
And it was a great game. I mean, the whole game was fun to watch. All right, so let's talk about Motherhood for Good. This is something that, did you have any idea when you started this way back then that it would be what it is now?
Of course not. No, I had no idea. And I still don't, like, it is really constantly sort of evolving, as is the sort of media ecosystem and just, I guess, my priorities in life and stuff. Mm-hmm. I started it because I didn't really used to pay much attention to politics all that much. But then I became a mom. I have two small kids. I have a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old. And they actually made me start paying attention more. I mean, I guess it makes sense. You know, you bring these mm-hmm. little people into the world and then you are suddenly noticing more about the politicians in charge and the decisions they're making and how that's impacting not only your family, but the schools and communities and the terrible news that we tend to see all too often becomes even scarier when you're a mom, when you're a parent, and you think about yourself or your own children in these situations. And so I just started to pay more attention. I was trying to find people online that I could relate to that wasn't just, like, of course I read the news and stuff like that, but I also was, like, looking for other voices that felt like I could sort of be in community with. So I decided to, like, just create an Instagram account and start talking to, making it for basically my friends or other moms I knew who, like, I knew they had the same values, and I knew because we had conversations about, like, when Roe was overturned or there was another school shooting, I knew how upset they were. But then they would also say, like, oh, I don't do politics.
Oh, so, yes, but politics are doing you, so yeah, you gotta get involved.
And I knew that this wasn't, like, call it whatever you want. Different people will have different things. I knew this wasn't necessarily, like, an arrogance. It was like, when you're a young mom, you're in the trenches, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's people just say it, at least the people I was talking to, because they just were exhausted and didn't have the time to look into these things and really immerse themselves in them. So I was like, okay, I need to, like, make some messaging, because my background is in marketing, that, like, gets through to these people and connects the dots between, like, policies or elections or candidate priorities that tie back to, like, here's how this impacts you or your family or those things. And so, and, you know, trying to make them in, like, nice visual, cute things that people could look at. So try to make it accessible and sort of approachable and cool again. And that's where I started. And then it's taken on many iterations since, you know, it is a whole community. During election season, we have, like, big coalitions that kind of come together, and we have people with, like, that are following or a part of Motherhood for Good that are kind of doing work all in their different areas around elections. So, we have events. It's kind of all different things, but it's been a joy to kind of watch what happens with it.
So it started with an Instagram account that was originally Moms for Mandela. It was Mandela Barnes' Senate race in 2022. That was the initial, like, seed of this.
Yes, because when I started really wanting to get involved and really wanting to do something, you know, and I get messages from people like this all the time. When people, like, start paying attention, they're like, what do I do? It's so overwhelming. It's like, what do I do? There's, like, how can I actually make a difference? And it is tough sometimes to feel like, yes, you can call Congress every day. You can write to your representatives, and you should do all of that. But I quickly realized that nothing's going to be more impactful than, like, during election season, flipping a potential Senate seat. Because really, all the stuff adds up. But at the end of the day, the policy changes come down to math and, like, how many seats you have for people that support certain policies. So I started with, creating a coalition online called Moms for Mandela. And I think that really helped me, like, have a starting point and really focus on one race while learning about how all the different politics work, so that I wasn't just, like, completely overwhelmed all the time. I think it just gave me, like, a purpose and sort of an end date.
It's tangible.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it feels like if you are politically engaged and you're paying attention and you're calling your reps, you're just banging your head against a wall because things are just not changing. They don't change quickly. But if you go to a rally or you put a post out there, it just feels like you're doing something in this time. And, you know, think about how things have changed since then. I mean, now we've got Donald Trump in the presidency, and every day is a blitzkrieg of more bad information. It's so overwhelming. It was overwhelming then. It's so much more overwhelming now. How do you keep up with it? Yeah.
I mean, I try to just do the best I can. I try to stay focused on, you know, there's so many news stories all the time. Mm-hmm. I try to kind of stay focused on things that are within my community's just, like, what they're thinking about. So I try to do stuff that affects, like, women or children or parenting or education, things like that, health for sure. Like, you're not going to see me as much reporting on, like, the war crimes happening, although I definitely, like, share that stuff in my stories and make sure, you know, people have insight into it. But I try to just focus on the things that I am like the most interested in, because I think those are the things the other people who are like me kind of want to know about too. And then I've learned to take breaks when I feel like, that burnout coming on. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten really good at like sensing when that is coming on. I used to think that you had to be like really stressed out and like check into the hospital for exhaustion, for burnout. And for me, it's not like dramatic like that. I just start like getting a little apathetic and I'm like, mm-hmm. I like uninspired. Start scrolling past stuff that I don't really, usually I care about a lot. And so I've just noticed when that's coming on for me and to take a break. And usually I'm better after a few days. I need to like power down for a while.
Yeah, that's so important, your mental health. I'm talking with Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good. Kate, the right kind of ceremoniously claims motherhood. Mm. I'm sure you've noticed this. You know, they're protecting moms. They're making sure that moms have the space to stay at home. That's not who Motherhood for Good is.
No. I mean, if you want to stay at home, then you should do everything you can to make that happen. And you should know that you have every option available to you and whatever is best and healthiest and safest and most prosperous for you and your family, that is what you should do. That is what I believe in my values. And so whether that means if you even want to have children, when you want to have children, if there's a certain like way that you'd like to do it, like if you want to breastfeed, if you want to use formula, if you want your kids to go to public school, if you want to homeschool them, I believe anybody should be able to do whatever they want to do, what they feel is best for their child or their children and their family, as long as they have the right information. So that's a big part of what I do too. I think a lot of, you know, women haven't been engaged in the policy and political discussions before. I think a lot of that is by design. You know, a lot of this has been heavy on the men conversations for a long time. And so I think a lot of women were just like making decisions by default, either kind of what they grew up with or what maybe what their husband thought. And so I want to just make sure that everybody really understands the either consequences or pros and cons behind what's going on in different policies and what that means for them, so that they can make a more informed decision. And that's kind of what Motherhood for Good is to me.
And we are definitely going to talk about some of those very important decisions in Wisconsin later in the show, because I know you care passionately about some of the stuff that's happened, like postpartum Medicaid extension, which has not happened.
Yeah.
But briefly, how do you balance the absurdity of having to fight for these things with these things that are fundamental rights, like reproductive rights, you know, managing your own body, with making sure the school lunch is good and all the crusts are cut off? Those are two very different worlds.
It is two very different worlds. And I don't know. You just kind of do it one day at a time. At least that's how I do it. And, you know, I have to show up for my kids either way. And somebody once told me, they're like, you know, stuff is crazy right now, but this is your kid's only childhood.
Yes.
And so I try to find joy in making the sandwiches and making the tough decisions and making sure that, you know, they see the bad too, but that this is their childhood and I make it at least memorable, I hope. Somewhat good.
Totally agree. I am talking with Kate Duffy. She is the founder of Motherhood for Good. When we come back from this little break, we're going to talk about Kate's new venture with friend of the show, Kristen Bry. See You Next Thursday is the name of their YouTube streaming series that airs Thursday nights at 8 p.m. But in the meantime, you are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, streaming on the Civic Media app and all across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And now in Chicago on AM 820 WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, here with my fellow mom and founder of Motherhood for Good, Kate Duffy. We are talking about politics and parenting. And Kate, you have a new series coming out with Kristen Bry. If people are not familiar with Kristen Bry, which is hard to believe, she is Asgood's Wisconsin. She is a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist. She is on WTMJ in Milwaukee. She is just all over the place, just like you. Putting you two together to, go ahead and say the name of your new series because I was dying when I saw this.
Well, and of course, this just like came together on text one night. I was like, hey, do you think we should start like a show, a streaming show, just like every Thursday? And she was like, sure, let's do it. Should we start tonight? So we started a couple weeks ago and we're trying to grow it. Of course, you know, we need to maybe form up a plan a little more. So if you're going to tune in already, just keep that in mind. You're here for the early days.
I was there. I knew her when.
Yeah. But yeah, we're calling it See You Next Thursday. There may be like a little bit of a cheeky line in there. Mm-hmm. But we're going to just get on Thursday nights and just kind of like recap some of the bigger stories from the week or some of the things that we're thinking about. And like, have a little bit more of our offline conversation in this space. Cause I mean, I kind of talk about whatever I want on my social channels, but yeah, she works for the Journal Sentinel and a radio show. And so she has to like, she can't even, well, I know we're on the radio here too, so I'll be good. But you know, there's a certain, things she has to hit. And so on the YouTube show, we can be like a little bit more, cause we talk usually throughout the week, our behind the scenes thoughts about what's going on. Uh-huh. So we're kind of giving up a little bit more of that in the YouTube show and just trying to get better at that. Like get a few more reps in and get better at the live thing. And just like so much of what I produce for social is like, you know, the scripted and then the editing and stuff. So trying to just, it's easier because it's just live and then mm-hmm. it's just up there, you know? So I have to let it go for what it is, which is hard for me, but I think good for me. So yeah, we're just going to be live every Thursday night, just kind of chatting about the week.
Live behind the scenes, the story behind the story. So mm-hmm. tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. See you next Thursday on YouTube. At Motherhood, do you like stream it on both yours and her channels?
Well, that's what we're going to figure. So for now, it's on the Motherhood for Good YouTube, but I am trying to figure out how to get it plugged into hers too, so it also goes on her YouTube channel.
One more technical thing to try to figure out.
I know, and it's like I'm trying to figure out YouTube a little bit. I mean, I know it's just like videos, but it's a lot different from the short form content I produce on Instagram or TikTok. Right. So there's like all these different, from a technical perspective, but also just, I mean, talking for longer. I mean, you know, you have a radio show. It's a whole different beast.
Yeah.
Trying to get that figured out. And I know she used to be like is still, I guess, a comedian and has actually a bit more experience with YouTube. And so, yeah, we're just diving back into that.
Yeah. So you do create a lot of different content and your origin story is on Instagram. But when you create, it's not like the same thing over and over again. You know, some people, it's always like direct to camera. They say their piece and they're done. Your stuff is really different and it's interesting and it's engaging. How do you decide how you're going to approach a topic? Because moms are thinking about so many different things and there are so many different ways to talk about it.
I approach how I'm going to talk about a topic literally like while I'm in the shower. I feel like that's the only time I have to think.
Two little kids.
There's not a lot of planning ahead, to be honest. I have like some things that I can do, but because it's all like kind of based around the news cycle, a lot of it is, it just like comes to me. It's funny you say that. Like, yeah, people do have a consistent format. Sometimes I kind of wish I did. I feel like it might be a little easier to just have a system.
Like an Aaron Parnas who is just talking to the camera and giving a news update and it's short and it's sweet and you know what to expect. But that's
not even
you.
People who have like skits, although I know that takes a lot of work to produce too, but I imagine after they've done it for a while, it's pretty easy to kind of recreate. But yeah, I do have like, that's kind of how my brain works too. I'm like a creative person. I don't really like to be like just forced into something. So it is once in a while I'll do like a funny skit or I do just like break down the news. Sometimes I'm spicy. Sometimes I'm like just, motherhood. And then, you know, you never really know what you're going to get. It's just, I guess, how I'm feeling that day and how the kids were behaving before they got out the door.
That's all part of the ride.
Yeah.
So how would you describe yourself? An influencer? A creator?
Yeah, I think I'm a content creator. I guess that's it. I don't really mind what people call me. I mean, yeah, in theory, I'm trying to influence people to pay attention, get involved, stuff like that. So if I can influence people to do that, that is a win. But I do also love the creation aspect of it because, like I mentioned, I am like a really creative person, and it's fun for me to not only like think of the ideas, but then like carry it out. And as much as like I complain about all the tech involved with it and actually how much time it takes, I do love like editing things and trying new things. And then like I would like, it's a whole community too. That's the really cool thing about Motherhood for Good. People feel, you know, really involved in it. And there are people, at least all throughout Wisconsin, but certainly all over the country too, that I have conversations with often, and we collaborate on things. And so it's really, that's a really nice part of it too.
Yeah. How are you going to teach your young kids? Because this is your job. Social media is what you do all the time. You've got all the equipment. This is a dedicated part of your house. A lot of parents are really worried about how much time their kids spend on social media. This is what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a good question.
You'll figure it out as they get older.
No, I mean, but they are young now, and like I probably need to get better about putting my phone down, and you know, yeah, like you said, we'll see as that goes, but I have plenty of time to figure that out, right?
You do. It's just, you know, one day at a time. And all of a sudden, they're going to be 19. I'm talking with Kate Duffy. She is the founder of Motherhood for Good. Check them out on Instagram, TikTok, and all the socials. We're talking about moms, social media, and when we come back, Kate's take on the run-up to the midterms. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, now in Chicago on AM 820 WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk, and streaming on the Civic Media app and all across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm here with my friend Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good. Over the break, she was just talking about something that RFK recently said about breastfeeding, and I want to get to that. But before I tell you, if you missed any part of this conversation, and it's so good, you can get it wherever you get your podcasts, and you can also see the video version, and we are kind of cute, so you might want to do that, on my YouTube channel at Dr. Kristen Lierley. So Kate, what did he say today about breastfeeding?
Yeah, and I don't even know why this came up, because I was just reading about it before I hopped on with you, but him and Secretary Duffy were at an airport rolling out, making travel good for families again, and he must have been, you know, there was a new bill that was just signed with TSA and making it easier for moms to bring breast milk through.
Yes, this is the Tammy Duckworth bill, I think.
Right, and that was like, mm-hmm. That's why I was a little confused, because it definitely was a Democrat-led bill, and I'm so happy that that went through. And I did see on the quick press release that they're like investing more money in making airports, you know, better for families, so more play areas, more nursing rooms, all that. Which, you know, got to give credit where credit is due. I'm mm-hmm. all for that, right? But then he was talking about, I just saw a clip of him then at the end talking about, he said, you know, nobody in corporate America or the corporate world has done enough science or figured out how to actually make formula as good as the milk from a mother's breast, he said. So again, you know, this guy, right?
This
it's just
guy.
Like another thing that they will like write off as a benign statement, and one that maybe like pull some scientific studies, but at the base of it is like another shaming comment to mothers, where yes. like they cannot get ahead. And unless you have been a mother and have gone through the breastfeeding journey, there's no way that you can understand what that really feels like and how much like shame is involved if you cannot breastfeed, and how hard most people try. And I just think it is like just such a dangerous comment, again, like the don't take Tylenol, like all of these other comments, you know.
so consistent, like you said, with all of the other things that are just meant to keep us in our place. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't tell you how many moms I've had the conversation with at day, postpartum day one or two, where they're trying to breastfeed and they're trying to get their supply started, and they're frustrated. And they think they're failures as moms because their milk's not coming in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you don't have a good lactation consultant to work with you, that can really be a traumatic experience for moms. Mm-hmm. So to say this so flippantly is just, it's so frustrating and it's so irresponsible for the person who is in charge of the FDA. But so many of his decisions have been irresponsible, especially the vaccine information.
Yes. Yeah. And that the news about the newborn vaccine, right?
Yes. And it's hepatitis B. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, you know, again, and he's not a medical professional. Okay. And all these decisions that are coming out are just so dangerous that I just, and it's, you know, people will say, well, they're not making it like impossible. You can still get it. But again, people like trust their doctors and their care teams with these recommendations. And if the doctors aren't allowed to really like make an enthusiastic recommendation for something, I mean, people are not going to get it. And then the kids are going to suffer. And the same thing with like, people can act like maybe it's a benign comment about the formula, but it's like, no. The babies need to be fed, and if they're being fed formula on like a regular schedule and they're like happy and healthy, that is all that matters. It's also such a out of touch statement, because so many a quarter of moms here have to go back to work actually within 2 weeks. Like that is the bigger problem. And we talk about like making travel better for families. Many families cannot afford to travel. And so I'm glad that it's going to be nicer for the families who are going through the airport several times a year with the kids. But not many people I know are flying several times a year with their kids. So
it's frustrating and hypocritical, really. Yes. And so there's so much hypocrisy that it underlies the MAHA movement, and the MAHA moms are a whole other thing who I think are generally well-intentioned. And there are a lot of things that I agree with the MAHA moms. Like, I want a clean, healthy environment and clean water and healthy food and all of those things. But when politics gets involved and they start to use to weaponize some of these things to turn us against each other and to deny people who don't have the same resources and access the things that they're supposed to have, like breast milk, is just so profoundly wrong and divisive.
Yeah, it really frustrates me, because I do think most of the people who kind of follow it definitely have the best of intentions. I think some of the people in the inner circle pushing the agenda don't. But I think what they do is, you know, they take a very vulnerable population, which is a new mom, and where you're worried about everything you're giving your kid. I remember when I was first pregnant, and it was 2020 during COVID, and so there weren't any in-person things. Like so I was in a Facebook group with a bunch of other moms too at the same time. And you'd see what they would talk about, and they'd post these links or say, I researched or whatever. And I even thought at one point, I'm like, oh, should I do a delayed vaccine schedule? That seems like, you know. And so it's so easy for new moms to fall down the misinformation trap, I think, almost than like any other kind of segment of people, because you just are so nervous about every little decision you're making about this new baby that like they have tapped into that fear and are manipulating it for forwarding their own policy agendas, which is like despicable to me.
And let's talk about new moms, because there are some really substantial things that could be done for new moms. Before I say this, I'm going to say I'm talking with Kate Duffy. She's with Motherhood for Good. She passionately cares about extending postpartum Medicaid, something we have not done here in Wisconsin. Let's talk about that initiative, who's standing in the way, and what happened when one of our state reps attempted to do something really important for the women and families in Wisconsin.
So I've always said, at least for the past couple of years, that our Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who is a Republican, is standing in the way, because, which he is. He refuses to bring it to the floor for a vote. He refuses to even acknowledge it, really. The few times he's even responded to it when reporters have asked him, like, why he won't do it is because he says, like, we already give away too much free stuff in this state. Mm-hmm. But never mind the fact that the fiscal estimate on this is, like, absolutely minuscule compared to other things that we're paying for in the budget. It's not really about the money. But I used to say it was him blocking it because he would hide it in committees. He'd kind of block it. He has never brought it to the floor for a vote, even though it passed our state Senate 32-1, two sessions in a row. It also passed it last session, and he never brought it to the floor.
And two-thirds of the state legislators in Wisconsin, bipartisan, support this legislation, and he alone will not bring it to the floor. But he's not the only one who's culpable here.
Well, yeah. So even though a lot of the Republican assembly members are signed on as co-sponsors, including my own, who, like, I've called the office a bunch of times and his staffers are like, yeah, we definitely want this. On the last assembly session of the year this year, the Democratic assembly members tried to do something that would kind of force a vote on it. And he found out and he pulled the bill and put it in a different committee. And the rules on that are that then it can't be touched for 21 days. So he, like, heard that anybody was even going to think about voting on this bill. And he was like, nope. And basically put it in a different safe with a key and, like, threw it out.
And then one of our state reps attempted to, not a maneuver, but attempted to bring it up to get it passed. And what happened then?
Oh, they cut her mic off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the middle of her 2 minutes. They wouldn't even give her 2 minutes.
Oh, I would say, yeah, like at the beginning of the 2 minutes. Yeah. Like right away, she started talking about it and he tried to cut her off and she clarified it was about, she was offering an amendment to another bill that was for children. And he cut her mic off. Yeah, and then another assembly member was talking for 2 minutes, and she was talking about this too, and she kind of like looked all the Republicans in the eye and was like, "You guys say you support this." Basically, I'm paraphrasing. What are you going to do anything? Are you going to do the right thing today? And just crickets.
That's going to be the thing, I think, Kate. In the upcoming year, as we're approaching the midterms, Wisconsin's always an interesting state. But the accountability thing, when it comes to postpartum Medicaid, when it comes to, there's a breast cancer bill, similar situation for breast cancer follow-up testing. I'm curious about your take on what's going to happen in Wisconsin over the next few months in light of what's been happening all across the country. We've got Abigail Spanberger now as the governor of Virginia. We've got Mikey Sherrill as the governor in New Jersey. We've got Sauron Mamdani in New York. It feels like, Afton Bain came within single digits in this district that was felt to be deeply red, went to Trump, I think, by 22 points. Is the tide turning, and how is that going to affect Wisconsin in the months to come?
I mean, the tide is obviously turning. And there's always like societal swings, right? We always kind of go back and forth. The midterms were already going to be historically pretty good for us in a year where there's a Republican president. But I think the swing is even crazier now and even more significant. And I think it's because he's different, Trump, this term almost than his last term, at least in the public eye. And he's, he campaigned on affordability and helping. There are a lot of people struggling, and he campaigned on helping them. And he's clearly not at all. In fact, all his tariffs and all his other policies are raising prices for everything. And people are noticing and they're just mad. They're starting to realize, I think, that he's like a fraud. And I think Republicans that are identifying themselves as MAGA or associated with him or seeking out his endorsement is like looking like it's actually hurting them more than it used to maybe help in some scenarios. I do think it's going to be very interesting heading into the midterms. I don't know how, I think a lot of Republicans with any sort of close margin should be pretty scared.
Well, we're already seeing. Marjorie Taylor Greene has already announced her retirement. There's a rumor that there are 20 Republicans who are thinking about leaving the House. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge for us.
It's huge. And I like people ask me about her all the time. They're like, what do you think the play is? And I'm like, I don't really care what the play is. There's definitely like, of course, she has more ambitions. Most people do, you know. But I think also it's just like she's realizing that like she's had Trump's back for so long and that like he doesn't have her back or anybody else's back. And so she's like just breaking from that. And I think, you know, so much of what we hear from Republicans is almost just like talking points from him. So it'll be really interesting to see if like you see more of them break from that and talk about what actually impacts their own constituents in their own district, which, by the way, is like the job of a politician.
Yes. And this is going to make your job all that much more important because you started this thing to make politics accessible and understandable for people who really didn't want to engage. But I think most of us are feeling like we need to engage. So Kate Duffy with Motherhood for Good is with me now. We've got one more segment coming up. When we come back, Kate, let's talk about Wisconsin's gubernatorial race, that crowded field. I know you have a lot to say about that. All right, you are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, streaming on the Civic Media app and all across Wisconsin, and now in Chicago, on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM 820 WCPT.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley here with Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good. We left you hanging after our last segment because Kate has thoughts about Wisconsin's gubernatorial race. It's a huge, the Democratic field is really crowded. What are you, as you look at it, what are you thinking?
Oh my gosh, I have so many thoughts. Mostly, and first of all, I'm glad to have pretty much like a whole bunch of candidates who I think are really great. And I like love watching them all individually up to this point, kind of in their careers. Most of them, there's a couple that I'm like a little less familiar with, but most of them, I know their work pretty well. And I know them somewhat on a, like a personal or professional level. So I think it's a great group. It's always like, you know, Wisconsin's not a big state. A lot of us like know each other who are in this sphere. So it's like, always kind of a weird thing when they're all kind of running against each other and you're friendly with some of them. But they do have to like start to position themselves apart from the other ones. That's what a primary is, right? I know a lot of people have thoughts about like a lot of different things with the race, but ultimately I think, you know, I want more people to pay attention to primaries and to kind of have a stake in that race so that like, you know, when it gets to the general, we feel really confident about our candidate and kind of everybody on the same page. And so I am hoping that that happens. I'm hoping that having more candidates in it will, you know, make them all better and make them work a little harder and maybe be more creative with their message and how they're meeting people. And I'm already seeing a lot of that, like different kind of things, especially in Francesca Hong's campaign. Hers is just like really, it seems to be like really digitally focused and new media focused, and she's been all over the place, which is just a bit different than it has been in the past. And I think it's really cool to see and fun to watch. And then, you know, there's other great people in it as well. Obviously, I know Mandela. You mentioned Moms for Mandela at the beginning, so I know he's wonderful. I
just love entered the race.
Yes, he just entered. I love Cal DeRoy's. I've like worked with her on some other, you know, she's been such a great proponent for so many bills, but especially like women's rights. I love how she's always like she's willing to just like jump on her stories and talk about something. So it's all everybody's fairly young and really gets it. So those are kind of my initial thoughts.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm excited about this. They're all kind of in lockstep right now. They're all kind of saying the same thing that they believe in the same. They're all for public schools. They're all for, you know, the working class people. Like, yeah, I get that. it'll be neat to see them as they start to branch out and differentiate. The problem is that our primary isn't until August. We have a really late primary. So we've got this huge group of candidates that pretty soon they're going to have to start picking at each other. And I don't like that part of it. Like, I want to uplift everybody, and I really want to see the good things. And, you know, you mentioned Fran Hung. We knew she's always been that person who's, she's spunky. She's, she doesn't hold back. She's got a tattoo. Like, the things that she's saying are really appealing to people who are looking for a new progressive kind of, I called her and I've interviewed her before the show before. Look at the back shows. I've talked with her on the podcast before. She talked about Mom Donnie and how she's kind of in that same space. But, you know, there are so many, as you said, there are so many good candidates that it's going to be neat. And not just there, but look at what's happening all across Wisconsin in the state legislative seats. Now that we have broken the gerrymander, we've got fair maps. Mm-hmm. We really could potentially flip our Senate. And there are some really exciting people who are running for state Senate seats, including Robin Vining.
Robin Vining, the one who got her mic cut, but was still shouting over him anyways, saying this is a disgrace. That is the kind of person I want in the legislature. If they are blocking her and it's completely unethical, I want somebody still shouting after her mic gets cut. That's and right. I mean, Robin is fantastic. She's, I'm excited that she's running for a new seat in the Senate, and I think she will do awesome with those new with that new constituent base. And yeah, we do have a chance to actually flip the Assembly and the Senate. Like, there is a world where we could have a Dem trifecta.
There is. I know, it's so exciting.
And that's when you kind of like can get a lot of stuff done. And it has been a long game, and so. Like, this, the moment is kind of here, and it'll be really interesting to see all the pieces come together. It'll also be interesting to see, I would imagine, some of the candidates for governor start to maybe drop, like, in the spring. But there'll still probably be a few in late spring and early summer, and it'll be interesting to see how, if they at all, campaign with different candidates who are running for Assembly or Senate in those certain areas and kind of have some, like, slate event type things.
Mm-hmm. And this is an invitation for all of our Chicago, Illinois friends. Come on up. We need your help. You can come knock doors. We know you're coming to Door County. So you're coming right up Highway 41 or 43. Yeah. There's Emily Staffos's district is up there. So much need for your voices and your help if we're going to flip Wisconsin blue, which is the master plan. Kate, how can we find you, Motherhood for Good, on our socials?
You at on Instagram at Motherhood for Good, or TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, pretty much everywhere. I'm not on Twitch or anything yet, but yeah.
Who knows?
Or motherhoodforgood.com also has links out to everywhere. On Substack too. I try to get a newsletter out like once a week. So
amazing. Kate Duffy, Motherhood for Good, thank you for taking the time tonight. I always love just hanging out with you. So just
I know we could do this for hours. We could have a talk-a-thon.
Maybe I will make a guest appearance. A surprise, like I'll photobomb your YouTube show, See You Next Thursday, which streams every Thursday night at 8 p.m. with Kristen Bry.
Yes.
Yeah. Can I do that? I don't know. I haven't figured out.
Yes. We're going to have guests and stuff. And we have no expectations. So.
Oh, good. Come on. I'm great at not meeting expectations. Okay, thank you. Hey, friends, if you missed any part of our conversation, you can always find it on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts, and of course on YouTube, as you can find Kate at Motherhood for Good on YouTube. Send me a message. Let us know what you want to hear, who you want to talk to. This is our show. We can do whatever we want with it. Many thanks to our wonderful and growing team, Abraham Lyerly, our producer, and so much more, Nick Tierman, our technical advisor, who also wrote the theme song, and graphic design by Nathaniel Gonzalez. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, reminding you to take care of yourself and each other. We'll see you next week.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.